Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and you can keep your finger there. You can just keep it open to Luke chapter 2. This isn't... Okay. And so here we are. We're at a time called Christmas. What is Christmas? Well, it's a celebration of Jesus' birthday. This is the 22nd. His birthday is celebrated on the 25th. That was the date declared by the church fathers back in 440 A.D., 2,400 years past his birth, okay? And the origin of that is from a Roman holiday called Saturnalia, which has to do with the winter solstice. Is it Christ's true birthday? No, not really. In fact, we call it Christmas. For a lot of people, it's not so much Christmas. I remember years ago making up a sign that said it's Christmas. It's not Shopmas, but it is Presentmas to a lot of people. And to a lot of folks, it's Charge Cardmas or Billmas or Toysmas or Overeatmas, you know, whatever you want to call it, Family Timemas, Fruitcakemas. Did you hear the story about that family that has had a fruitcake handed down from generation to generation since the 1700s. They still have it. I don't know if you can still get a bite of it, but, you know, that's kind of says a lot about fruitcakes, I guess. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's less Christmas and more Santamas. And so to a lot of the world, it's not so much Christmas, but Santamas, Santa. You know who he is. He's that fat man in the red suit. Who's in a sleigh pulled by reindeer, and he lands on the roof, slides down the chimney, and delivers presents under the tree. So the story goes. Frankly, that story is actually based on a poem by Clement C. Moore called A Visit from St. Nicholas. And it begins with, you know, you've heard it, 'twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. We've all heard that. But if you read down through that poem, you'll notice that there's nothing in there that pertains to Christ. But the original Santa, there was an original Santa. He was a Christian. You might be thinking, original Santa? How could there be an original? What's this all about? Well, the man today who has that picture that we see of Santa Claus was actually born in Myra in the Far East in a place that we call Turkey now. He was born in about 270 A.D., when he was a teenager, his wealthy parents passed away and left him their inheritance, their fortune. And even at a very early age, he was very generous. And when he was a believer in Christ, too. And when he heard of a destitute family who didn't have any money for food, he decided that he could help. And one night he threw a small bag of gold coins in their window. And it saved the family from poverty. And it was so successful that he later provided a dowry for all of the three daughters so that they could marry, because dowries in those days was very important. And his generosity was shown many times. In fact, he would sometimes, if he couldn't find a window open, would drop gifts down the chimney. Sound familiar? When open windows couldn't be found. Sometimes he'd throw coins in through the window. And sometimes they would land in stockings hung by the around the fireplace to dry. So the story goes. But years later, this Bishop of Myra, this Nicholas, he abandoned his wealth and answered a call to ministry. He had a call to ministry, calling himself a sinner and a servant of Christ. Have you heard that? You may not hear that in the news as they're talking about Christmas and singing about Santa Claus. And this Nicholas was his name, was called, he was made the Bishop of Myra. And during his time as a bishop, the Roman Emperor Diocletian ordered a merciless persecution of all the Christians, of which he was certainly one. And any suspected Christians were ordered to make sacrifices to Roman gods. Nicholas was a leader in that time, and he refused to do this, to make these sacrifices to Roman gods. And many of those who resisted were tortured, and some brutally killed. This is part of history. Some were fed to wild animals. Some were forced to fight skilled gladiators. Some were burned alive. So others were jailed. Almost all of them, at least, were jailed. But as a result of their suffering, those who survived were hailed by the people as saints. So among the survivors was this saint, Nicholas of Myra. And so Nicholas finally was released from prison where he was, and he was sent home. And through his prayers and leadership, many professed faith in Christ. This is the original Santa Claus. To make a long story longer, the Dutch name for St. Nicholas was Sinterklaas, which later evolved into Santa Claus. That's where evolution actually does work, through words. But the Santa Claus that we know today was created by an artist for a Coca-Cola ad. And his image on the ad actually bears a resemblance to St. Nicholas, who wore bishop's robes, a hat and a cape with a flowing white beard. So there's something to it there. But if Nicholas, this St. Nicholas, were alive today, he would likely refuse all of the attention he's currently getting. He was a humble man. He was a dedicated servant of Christ who saw himself as Nicholas, sinner, servant of Christ. A title all we as Christians should be quick to claim also. And as we celebrate Jesus and his death, his resurrection, his gift of eternal life, he offers to all who believe in his atoning death on the cross. We're in a time of busyness. We're in a time of crowds. A lot of things can crowd out the joy that we have for the season. How do we have joy in a crowded season like this? What might crowd out our Christmas this year? Will I have time to cook all the food? Will I have time to make all the cookies? Will I have time to get all the treats here? Will I have time to deliver them all? Is there time to decorate the tree? Is there time to decorate the house? Oh, I should watch that special on TV. Maybe this is supposed to be the best one. Maybe I'll see Charlie Brown Christmas again this year. That's always good. Can I get to all the stores? Oh, wait, I can shop online. Can I get to all the websites I need to? Can I see all the sales? What about Black Friday, Cyber Monday? We get extended sale after extended sale this year without missing everyone on the list. Where is that list anyway? It just gets so long. How am I going to do it all? It's a crowded season for all of us in many ways. But let's take a breath and look at the opportunities that we have to share the good news, actually the great news of great joy through faith in Christ. Let's read about another crowded season. You have your fingers in Luke. I should have said Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, are we there? Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused, his promised wife, his engaged wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So Jesus, he's born into this crowded time, into this crowded world. There were so many people that Augustus Caesar wanted to get them all counted. So you can imagine the traffic on the roads at that time with everybody trying to get to their hometown so that they could get the census taken. Of course, there were a lot of animals, so there were probably a lot of droppings in the road you had to step over to. If you picture that and picture the lines you probably had to stand in to get counted, and maybe there were forms. And when you're doing all this, it's not like today you can stop at a fast food place. Where do you get food along the road? How do you find a doctor if you're pregnant? How do you find a place to stay overnight? Everywhere was crowded. There were too many people in Bethlehem for Mary and Joseph to find a room. There was no room for them. The inn had too many people. It was too crowded. They were too crowded to give him a room. Yet Jesus chose to be born into this crowded space, into this crowded time, to bring great joy for all people. And for us as believers, our joy doesn't come from the absence of a crowded season. This is certainly a crowded season, but our joy comes in the midst of it. Because we, Peter says, we as believers can have joy unspeakable. I'm so full of joy, I hardly know what to say. Joy above these crowded circumstances. So the question then becomes, how do we, surrounded by all this crowded season that we're in today and the internet and everything, capture the joy that Christ came to bring? I think we can find the answer. Well, part of the answer, as I said, the first Christmas carol we sang today was Joy to the World. And we sing it every Christmas season. It says, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. But wait a minute, isn't this a little baby? Well, this is a little baby that was prophesied in the Old Testament in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings, now we're talking about a babe here, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. There's a baby going to be born that's going to step into this time zone who's always been. Jesus has always been. He's the first, the last. He's an unknown, but he's coming out of eternity. So the Lord is come. I was on the phone with someone the other day talking about the Lord who didn't believe in the Lord. And he says, Jesus, I think he's a good moral teacher. He came here to give us morals. And I said, we have a couple of problems here. He said he was God, so he's either a liar or he's a stark raving lunatic, or he's the Lord. And he came and he created. Well, I believe, he said, that we came from aliens. I said, oh, okay, where'd the aliens come from? How many times do you want to go back into aliens before you have to find something somewhere had to be created? Well, okay, I'm off the track a little bit. But joy to the world, the Lord has come. Prophesied in the Old Testament. Coming out of eternity. Then it says, remember we're singing this morning, let earth receive her king. That was the whole point, was Christ came here so that we would receive him. We would believe in him. We would take him as our Lord and our Savior and spend eternity with God. I guess he doesn't need company, but he'd like it. But what's interesting, when you go through the Gospel of John in the first chapter, verses 10 and 11, it says, he was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. We're supposed to receive our king, and here he came to his own, and they didn't receive him. Imagine the creator of the universe stepping out of eternity into time, into our time zone, to fulfill the promises of his coming that were already given to the Jews in the Old Testament. They already had all this. Coming to his own people. And not only did they not receive him, they rejected him, they killed him. Let earth receive her king. His own people didn't receive their king. Many of the people on this earth today won't receive their king. And I've said before, the death rate in this earth is above 200,000 a day, dropping into eternity, probably 10% saved. So instead of receiving the king, they'll receive any theory that will keep God out of the creation, that makes creation an accident so it could come all about by accident, that makes creation possible without a creator. That's what the devil wants to do. Remember, the big picture here is that God made all of this so he could take some of us into glory with him forever. So there's a war going on as God is battling for souls into heaven and Satan is battling for souls to drag them into hell. And I am burdened and anguished over the fact that hospitals and hospices should be saving stations where salvation is taught. And oftentimes they're not. Where Jesus is professed, where Jesus is promoted, where souls are saved for eternity. Saving station. I don't know if you've ever heard of saving stations, but usually along the coast over the last several centuries, along in coastal regions where there was a lot of shipping, oftentimes ships would get caught in a storm and be blown up onto the rocks and the shore. And what would happen if there was a town nearby is they would build near those places where the ships would crash. They would build what's called a saving station. And when somebody would run into town, hey, a ship is on the rocks, everybody would run out to the saving station, go down and pull people out of the water, take them up, give them warm blankets, warm drinks, and you know, just take good care of people that were crashing on this known place. Well, what would happen over time is there wouldn't be crashes some years. It'd go a couple of years, and all of a sudden it became just a community center where they would meet. And they would have a great time. They'd have dinners. But then when somebody, a ship would crash, they'd go, okay, is that, you get all that dirt and water in there? We're not going to use it for that anymore. And they would stop using it. And somebody else would say, no, we need this. So they would move down the coast and start another one. And this kind of progressed over the centuries to have several saving stations because each one would turn into a community center. But hospitals, hospices should be saving stations. And today, many people won't receive the truth, just won't receive the truth. But I, as we go down through the Christmas carol, let every heart prepare him room. We're talking about Jesus and Mary not being able to find room at an inn. We need to be preparing room for him, too. I mean, I see most of the people in here that today were mostly saved, I think. But oftentimes life can be too busy to prepare a room. I got too much to do. I'm too busy doing things for Jesus to make room for Jesus. That is what it comes down to. I'm too busy with Christmas stuff to give Jesus any time. And how ironic is that? But we need to prepare room for him, even during this season. And heaven and nature sing. I like that verse. Who wrote this was definitely a believer. Because we know from Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. We should be able to look up at the heavens and say, wow, this couldn't have come about by accident. You can't push nothing into the one end of a billion years and come out with something at the other end. We can look about us and we see the galaxies, the universe, the constellations, the nebula. You ever look at the Hubble telescope pictures of space once you get outside of our atmosphere? It's amazing. We look at the earth and the clouds and the plants and the animals and the humans, us, made in God's image. It all declares the glory of God. And if that's not enough, think about what we have in us. We have a conscience. We have emotions. We can feel, we can touch, we can speak, we can write. You can't take chemistry and throw a bunch of it in a test tube and come up with something like us. We have Jesus. We have his word. We have plenty of evidence. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Regardless of what we think, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we think we see, the Lord of glory still reigns. He's still on the throne. God is still on the throne. And nothing is too big for God to accomplish. And no one is too little for him to use in accomplishing it. God, in other words, God can use me, he can use you. And he will, if we are available. We need to stay available. I've noticed that when God's about to do something great, we're often unaware that he's about to do something great. But we don't need to be aware. We just need to be available. Here I am, Lord, use me. Finally, joy to the world again. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. What is God like? His love says that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's in John 15. In that time, you know, when Jesus was born, when Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem to be counted, many Jews were looking for the Messiah to come. Many believed that a great ruler would come and overthrow all the enemies. And other Jews just lived a quiet prayer life of faithful watchfulness, waiting for God to reveal his Messiah. When Jesus was 8 days old, he was taken to the temple to be consecrated to the Lord, fulfilling what was required in the law of Moses as a young Jewish boy. Still in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 25. Now, there was this devout elderly man named Simeon who had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. That was pretty encouraging. He's looking for the Messiah. Look at Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is not a New Testament principle. God is God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost always. It was revealed unto him in verse 26 by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So he knows what he's seeing. He's holding a baby. And then verse 36, we're introduced to Anna, a prophetess. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they saw this baby, Simeon, Anna, they knew this was the Christ. They knew this was the anointed one. They knew this is the Messiah. Knowing not just intellectually, but believing, trusting, putting their full faith and hope in, and knowing in the very deepest part of themselves, as we can also know in the deepest part of us, embracing with all of our heart, believing that he is who he said he was, the Son of God, come to earth to be the Savior of all. Wow. Jesus, the unique God-man, fully God, fully man, not part man, part God, not all man, no God, not all God, no man. But he come to earth to redeem us from our sins. And that's good news. That's the true Christmas story. At this time of year, often Charles Dickens's play called The Christmas Carol is played in the movies on TV. And we learn in The Christmas Carol by Dickens how to give to others. And that's a good thing. But as we read through Luke here, we learn how essential it is to see ourselves first as receivers. We need to receive the good news before we can give out the good news of eternal salvation. Joy in this crowded Christmas season comes from discovering Christ, personally knowing the one whose birth we celebrate. Many of us know him already. We've discovered him. We know him. We've received him as Savior. So the challenge in this crowded season is to remember that no matter how long we've been a Christ follower, we're called to be continually dependent on him, to release the daily control of our lives to him, to come to know him more, to become more like him, to grow in Christ, to be passionate disciples of Christ, having this joy, this Christmas joy, this joy of knowing, this joy of celebrating him this time of year. Now, the scribes, they sat and studied the scriptures. They knew the Messiah was coming, but it didn't move them. They didn't really seek him. In fact, they missed him. Now, the three kings, those three wise men, what did they have to go on? A story? A rumor that had made it back to where they were? They had a rumor to go by, but it moved them to take a long journey. They found him. They worshiped him. They gave him gifts. They adored him. They treasured him. And at Christmas time, we may have a lot of presents, but few treasures. in God, Jesus is God's gift to us, this treasure to us, given to us so that we may treasure him. And realize that in this whole universe, he's looked down and we meant enough to him that he came down and touched our lives and revealed himself to us. The wise men treasured him. They bowed down and worshiped him. They honored him with their gifts. We can honor him with gifts also, our time. Right now, we're spending time to celebrate Christ, to celebrate him this Sunday, to celebrate who he is. Later, when we're out of here, we might be in Walmart, we might be home, we might be baking, we might be traveling. We can celebrate him there. We can celebrate him in our devotions, in our prayers, in our time with our families, even with those family members you'd rather not be with. I'm sure maybe you don't have any. We do. Sometimes we have opportunities to talk to complete strangers about Jesus. Do telemarketers call you? What an opportunity. They want to talk to you. Share Christ with them. So we have an opportunity to share the joy of Christ in a crowded season. So be careful about losing the real meaning of Christmas. Hearing more about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who had a very shiny nose. Sorry I put that song in your head. Or Frosty the Snowman was a very happy soul. You ever think of that? He couldn't have a soul. He's a pile of snow. Or Jingle Bells, that's cute. Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. It truly is. No Jesus. How about Here Comes Santa Claus? No. Cute songs, but no Jesus here, no scripture here. The Savior of the world kept out, ignorantly by many because they don't know who he is. But sometimes Jesus is kept out of people's lives knowingly, willingly left out in the cold, so to speak. He's often denied entrance into places like government buildings because it's too full of man's laws. Public schools and universities because it's too full of man's wisdom. Oftentimes he's kept out of and crowded out of people's lives because there's no sense of sin. Or they're so full of sin, they're not willing to give the sin up. Or can be crowded out of our own hearts or the hearts of others full of cares of the world, not willing to open that door. I like what the Lord said in 1 John 5:20. He says, we know that the Son of God has come, and he's given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And I like what Jude was only one chapter. It's right close to Revelation. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jesus was born in a stable, laid in a manger. A manger was a feeding trough. It wasn't a little wooden box with straw in it. It was a stone feeding trough. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was laid on a rock soon after his birth? He was laid on a rock soon after his death. The same Jesus who is our rock, our salvation, the same Jesus who rose from the grave. Imagine the Messiah of his people kept out. The Savior of the world kept out ignorantly because many didn't know who he was. And I want to close with a couple of verses here. One that I often refer to, John 14, says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I will go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we as believers, we're called sheep, because we follow. We're intended to follow the shepherd. And Jesus in John 10, the teaching on the shepherd, said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. If we're his sheep, then we hear what's going on in this book. We hear it when it's taught. It means more to us than people in the world. They think they're just hearing a book report. This isn't a book report. This is an eternity report, a salvation report. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither there shall any... Actually, the word man is in italics. It's not there. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. There's no created being. There's no entity that can take us out of God's hand. And in this busy season, that's where our security lies. That's where our joy lies, in Christ, who has prepared a place for all of his people. And no one, nothing can take us out of his hand, even in this crowded season. And that should give us peace. And that can give us joy. Let's stand and pray. Lord, help us not get so busy that we can't give time to you. Help us not be so busy that we not share you with someone else. Help our lives and our hearts not to be so crowded with stuff that we don't remember to give our joy to you, our peace to you, Lord. Because you, that's what you give to us. Fill us with your peace. Fill us with your joy, Lord. And even in the midst of this busy time, Lord, we could be busy and enjoying it at the same time. Go with us now, Lord. Have your hand upon us, Lord. Help us to be willing and steady vessels for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.